Well, as we have been reading, Paul speaking to the Colossian church, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Since here, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Well, here in the book of Colossians, as we mentioned, Paul, the apostle, he's addressing these Christians that he hasn't even met yet, okay? He only has heard about them. And what he has heard has prompted him to give what? To give thanks to God and to pray for them always, we read. Now, what did he hear? What did he hear about them that would prompt him to praise God and to give thanks to them and to pray for them always, right? People he had never even met. Well, notice he heard about their faith. Number one, he heard about their faith. He heard about their love for all the saints. He also heard of their hope, which was laid up for them in heaven. And so this faith and hope and love, these are the three great pursuits of the Christian life. We have seen this over and over, emphasized throughout the New Testament. Now, I want to just give you a few examples before we continue. Here in 1 Thessalonians, for example, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul continues, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of our salvation. Galatians 5 and 6 says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. And lastly, example here, 1 Peter 1:21, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And he continues, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So again, this faith, this love, this hope, this great pursuit that we should be pursuing as Christians are emphasized, they are encouraged throughout the New Testament. These were just a few examples for you this morning. Now, I'd like to just spend some time and look a little closer at each one of these, if we can, this morning. First one, faith. What is faith? What is faith? Now, one secular definition says that faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And as Christians, we have placed our faith, our complete trust, our complete confidence in who? In Jesus. We have surrendered. We have completely, as Christians, accepted this fact that Jesus is indeed who he says he was. In Hebrews, we get a kind of a little biblical definition a little bit. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just as our physical eyesight is the sense, if you will, that gives us the evidence of the material world. Faith is that sense that gives us evidence of the invisible, spiritual world, if you will. Now, think about it. If you have the substance before you, if you can see it, then what's the use of faith? What's the point of faith if you can see it? If you can hold it, if it's right before you, I don't have to have faith in something that I can see. Faith is needed for what we can't see and what we can't touch. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. And Jesus said to his disciple Thomas, remember, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, this faith factor. The Colossians hadn't seen Jesus, had they? No. And either have we seen Jesus with our physical eyes, yet they had faith in him, didn't they? As so do we. Skeptics wonder how or why a Christian can believe in something they cannot see. Well, you all know that there's many things that we believe in that we cannot see. For example, this is a common example, we believe in the wind, even though we can't see the wind, we've never seen the wind, we believe it exists. Because why? We can see the effects of the wind, can't we? We can see the effects of the wind, and we can go outside and see and feel the wind blowing all around us. It's something that's so similar to our faith. You see, we can't see God. We can't see God, but we can sure see the effects of God, can't we? We can see what he's done, what he's doing. They're very observable. Now, even if we get close enough, if we were to go outside, if you will, we may even be able to feel his touch upon our lives personally, as many of us can testify today. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, I remember our very first Bible study that we had back in November of 2010 in Nagai Cohen. We had a little Bible study there on Friday night, and we had our worship songs ready in Japanese, ready to go. And we had our projector and our PowerPoint all ready to go. I had the message translated in Japanese, okay, so it was all ready to go. And more importantly, we had a small group of people who came to our English class and decided to stick around for the Bible study afterwards. And so we were really excited. I remember that day. I was really scared, but I was just happy people showed up. And I was really excited because we were ready. And so after the study, I asked one of the girls there who attended, and I asked her, Wakarimasu ka? Did you understand? Right? And she replied, Zenzen wakarehen. And I go, oh, that's great. Amy, what did that mean? And Amy said, she didn't understand anything, right? And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, why not? Why did you? It was all translated. How come you didn't understand? It was Japanese, right? Well, what I soon realized was it was Japanese Christianese. There's this thing called Christianese that we use, that hallelujah, praise God, you know, and what are you talking about? This girl, the most she knew about Christianity was probably that that Christmas was Jesus' birthday. That's probably about it, right? And so I realized that this girl had zero foundation of biblical truths. And this Christianese didn't mean anything to her. She couldn't understand. And so it was a little frustrating, but I just realized that we had a lot of work to do. and a long way to go. And you know, by the grace of God, this girl came back the next week and kept coming back week after week and has been coming back week after week. And we give praise to God for that. And for an entire year, she had been hearing about Jesus. She'd been hearing about Jesus. Amy and I had been trying to show her the love of Jesus all we could. And she had been hearing about how Jesus has saved us, how Jesus has touched us, how Jesus has revealed himself to us in very personal ways. And not just us, but all those who came to our Friday night Bible study and would give testimony and how God had touched their lives and revealed himself to them too. Not just Gaijin, but Nihonjin were saying, yes, me too. And she was bikurishita. Right? She was just so surprised that Nihonjin could understand who Jesus was. But this was happening. And so, this last Christmas, you know, Amy and I, and God put in our heart to do another outreach to Ishinomaki for the tsunami victims, okay? And some of us went on that trip. It was an amazing trip. And on that trip, before the trip, we were praying if we should invite this girl who wasn't a Christian but had been hearing about Jesus. And so we prayed and we decided, okay, we're going to invite this girl to come with us to Ishinomaki on this outreach, okay? And our prayer was that even though she'd been hearing about Jesus, our prayer was that she would see Jesus for herself for the first time. And that was our prayer. And so we took that step of faith and we asked her to come and she said, okay, which, wow, was amazing. And she came with us to Ishinomaki. And during that outreach, we had a big Christmas outreach and we kind of told you a little bit about it. And 9 people, after hearing the clear gospel message, received Jesus Christ. They wanted Jesus. And this girl was, what is going on here? And afterwards, she was so touched by that outreach. You know, remember, my prayer for her was that she would see Jesus. I didn't tell her, my prayer for you is that you would see Jesus. I didn't say that. We just prayed. And after the outreach, she came up to me and says, Joseph, today I saw Jesus. I can believe in God. My very prayer for her that I've been praying and telling everybody to pray for came out of her mouth. The confession of her faith was answered with my prayer, you see. Don't give up. It may take a year, it may take longer, but we can't worry about what we have no control over. We just got to do what we can do, you see. And so this girl, her very own confession of faith was amazing. But even if we never see the effects of Jesus personally, if we never see, it doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Okay? Just like if you never see or feel the wind, as our example, it doesn't prove that it doesn't exist, does it? But all that proves is that you never go outside to feel the wind or to see the wind. Some of us need to get outside a little bit, I think, to see what Jesus is doing. Sometimes, even if we don't go outside, the wind blows so strong that you can hear it, can't you? You can hear it from the inside. So it's hard to hide from the effects of the wind. And so even though we can't see it or feel it, sometimes we can hear it. And that's exactly what Paul had heard. Notice here in our next verse, as we saw, since we what? Heard of your faith. Since we heard of your faith in Christ, speaking of the Colossians. Now, question, can you hear faith? Can faith be heard? We can't hear faith, no. But we can hear of faith, can't we? We can hear of faith, and that's what Paul had heard of. Now, in the book of James, chapter 2, we read about how faith is manifested, how faith is substantiated, if you will. How? By our good works of faith, you see. James said, but someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. You see? Now, don't get confused. A lot of people get confused here, and they think that James is saying that we are saved by our works. And that's not what James is saying. No. He's simply saying that if you have faith, then let's see it. You see, good works should be a natural outbirth of our faith. And as I shared with you guys before, you know, talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words, don't they? Don't just tell me you have faith, James is saying. He's saying, show me your faith. And how are we to do that? How are we to show our faith? By our works of faith. By our works of faith. What we do. What we say. How we live our life. They should all give testimony of the faith we claim to have. Now, but Joseph, you're asking, what about Paul? You know, what about Paul when he says we're not saved by works? And that's absolutely true. And like I'm saying, James isn't saying that either. But let's look at it for the sake of argument. Notice, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But keep reading. Everybody wants to stop right here and say, I don't have to do any work. Because Paul said, we're not talking about being saved. We're talking about God's will for your life. And notice what Paul continued to say. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you see, we were created for good works. God has prepared them for us. And for someone to think, and this is really drives me nuts. For someone to think that they don't have to do anything for God because and based upon the fact that they don't have to because, you know, that's what it takes to get saved. I don't have to do anything that God has desired and planned for me to do. Wow. What does that say about their love for God? I don't have to do anything because I'm not saved by works. I don't have to do what God had planned for me and prepared for me to do and desired for me to do. What does that say about their love for God? What does that say about their appreciation for what God has done for them? What does that say about their obedience to His plan and purpose and will for their lives? I wonder. It's very sad. And it's true. We don't have to do anything, but we should want to. We should want to, church. We should want to do anything and everything that God would want us to do for Him. Shouldn't we? As a token of our love and appreciation, of our devotion, of our faith. Now, can you understand what James is talking about here? James says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Even Jesus Himself, He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, faith in Christ should be observable. You should be able to see it, manifested. There should be something different about our life, that is different from this world. The things you say, the things you don't say, the things you do, the things you don't do. There should be something different about you. And that which is different about you should be pleasing to Him. Notice Hebrews says, but without faith, it's an impossibility. It's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God. Now, have you ever stopped to consider if your life is pleasing to God? Just stop. Look, take a step outside yourself and look at your life and say, is my life pleasing to God? If I were God, would I be pleased? Well, maybe not. But are we trying? Are we trying? That's a big question. Perhaps we need more faith. Right? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So maybe we need more faith to please God more. How do we increase our faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Simply spend more time reading and listening to the Word of God, and less time in this world. That's one way. Now, some of you know the story, but on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus' face shone like the sun, right? And His clothes became as white as light, then the exceeding glory of God, right, came over Peter and James and John in a form of a cloud. Okay? And a voice came out from heaven, from God Almighty, and said, this is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Do what? Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Listen. But how are we to hear Him when this world is just screaming all around us? Screaming through the magazines and through the newspapers and through the radio and through the television and through all the billboards. And not to mention our very own desires of our heart that keep screaming out from within. The world is screaming around us all day long, isn't it? And if we don't stop and take time to take the effort to listen to Jesus, then He will just begin fade away in the distance, won't He? And you'll have to wait a whole nother week until you come back to OIC or wherever you go, right, to hear from God again. And that's if you're even listening at all. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're listening. You may be hearing, but not listening. You see, there have been a few times when when Amy would be trying to talk to me in the beginning of our marriage many times, and we've only been married for over 2 years, but so it wasn't too long ago. But Amy would be speaking to me, and you know, I was hearing her, but I wasn't listening, right? And I was thinking about something else, and I was doing something else, and you know, but I'm not a very good multitasker. I'm a terrible multitasker. So I can't think and do something at the same time. And so it's very obvious to Amy that I was not paying attention to her in those moments. And you know, Amy, she's so graceful, you know. She doesn't say, are you listening to me? You're not listening to me. Or she doesn't say that. She just, nope. She shuts her mouth and she walks away all mad. And, you know, after a few minutes, I notice that she's not talking anymore. And then I realize, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. Because I didn't even notice that she stopped talking. Oh, no. And, you know, that would really hurt Amy. And I couldn't blame her. How rude. How disrespectful. You know, I know, and you know, I haven't done it in a long time, and I hope and pray I don't do it again, because I know she doesn't like that, and I don't blame her. But you know, I don't like that either. I don't like when somebody doesn't want to listen to me when I'm trying to talk to them. And I bet you don't like it either. But how do you think God feels? You think God likes it? Well, I don't think he does. And so, like I said, this world is screaming for our attention and is doing a real good job in getting it, isn't it? But we, of course, here for us today, we've dedicated, right? We've dedicated this time from 10 to 12 p.m. on Sunday mornings at OIC. It's God's time, right? We've marked it in our date book. We're ready. And you know, that's great. And I'm glad every one of us is here today. But sadly, for many professing Christians, this is all the time God gets. That's it. The rest of the week is the world's. It's the truth. Now, is this the type of relationship that we have with Jesus? I would be very sad if Amy only gave me 2 hours a week. I would be very sad. And that brings us to love. Colossians 1:4, Paul said, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for some of the saints." Oh, wait, it doesn't say some of your saints, does it? For what? All the saints. Minasan, every one of us. For all the saints, right? And I know this is a hard one. It's a very hard one. And I'm sure we all struggle with this one. I'm sure. And why? Because we simply can't do it. We don't have it in us to love everyone. There's people on here we don't want to love. That's just the reality. We can't do it in and of ourselves. But notice what Jesus said. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. You can't do it apart from Jesus. Either can I, none of us can." And so you see, for us to even try to manufacture this fruit, which we know is love, the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's an impossibility. It's impossible. We just can't do it. It can only be a result of our relationship with Jesus. As we abide in him, his word will abide in us. And we are washed and we are cleansed by his word. You see? And our life begins to produce fruit in the form of love for one another. And God's love will begin to pour forth in our hearts and through our lives and begin to touch all those around us. But it isn't something that we can do in and of our own strength. It is something that is a natural result and abiding in Christ. Spending time with Jesus, right? Listening to him, like we spoke of. And his love will begin to flow forth from our lives to others. And that's really the sign and the evidence that Christ is truly, truly indwelling in us. That we are really one of his disciples for the love we have for one another. And so he goes on and he gives us the commandment. As we keep reading John 15, he continues and said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Love one another. That's the fruit of that God is looking for. The fruit that God is looking for from his vineyard, if you will. That love flowing in and through our lives from him to each other through us. And oh, that God would really bind our hearts together today in the glorious love of Jesus Christ. that we would have this kind of self-sacrificing, understanding, forgiving love for one another, this agape love that only God can give. That God would erase all the bitterness and hard feelings and whatever else that may come between us. And that we would be obedient. Obedient. Today, at the commandment that Jesus Christ has given all of us. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, the Colossians were lastly known for their hope. Notice 1:5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So, this glorious hope of our salvation. You know, Paul is saying it's part of the gospel. He said it was part of the gospel. You've heard it before, in other words. The hope of what? The hope of heaven. The hope of the kingdom of God, which is to come. The great news of our salvation, right? The eternal life, which is laid up for us in heaven. So you've heard it. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news. And Jesus, you know, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, and God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, you see, it is this common hope that we share as believers, which is laid up for us in heaven. This place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, for those of us who love Him. And so, with this hope, even though this life is often very painful, very painful, our problems will seem mild and only temporary when compared to the hope of eternity. Notice, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see? Now, some may argue that if heaven is all that we focus on as Christians, right? Then it'll produce this type of escapist mentality. This type of thinking that causes people to be, what they say, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Right? Oh, kumbaya. Life is wonderful. Hallelujah. And they're just floating. And they're not even here. They're somewhere else, right? And we have a term for that. They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And this is the question. People who start to think this way will set their minds so far into the future that they're going to neglect and forget about the pressing needs of the present. Now, this is the argument. Is it true? Is this something we should guard our hearts and our minds against? Can we really become so heavenly minded and start floating around that we're no earthly good? I think you're floating around, something else is going on, to be honest with you. When Christians set their hearts and minds earnestly and intensely on the hope of the glory of God, on the hope of seeing Jesus, on the hope of being free from sin, on the hope of no longer getting sick, on the hope of eternal life where there will be no more sorrow and no more pain and no more suffering, where He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. and make all things new. When we have our hearts set on this hope that has been promised to us, does it create an escapist mentality? Does it really cause our minds to be so much in heaven that we neglect the pressing needs of this world and those hurting around us? Becoming so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. The Bible portrays just the opposite, actually. The Bible teaches and shows us that a strong confidence in the promises of God and a passionate preference for the joys of heaven over the joys of this world are precisely the power that breaks the bondage of sin and the pull of this world. Breaks the bondage of our self-centeredness, right? Our regret, our self-pity, our fear, our greed, our bitterness, our despair, our impatience, our envy, our lust. I mean, we can continue. Anything else that is contrary to a life according to the Spirit, it's being heavenly minded that breaks the bondage of sin. In place of all that, we are given hope. You see? The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Being so heavenly minded does not make us no earthly good. On the contrary, being heavenly minded is the very key to being any earthly good at all. Any earthly good at all. It is not the cords of heaven that bind us from such faith, hope, and love. No. It's worldliness. It's worldliness that binds us. You see? 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. You see? And Lord, help us. That should be our prayer. Lord, help us be more heavenly minded so that we can be some earthly good. Now, as I close, what has your life been focused on? What is it that you really want more of? More of Jesus? More of this world? As the Colossian believers were known for their faith in Christ Jesus, for their love for all the saints, and their hope in heaven. May it be our prayer to pursue, to abide, to be known for these three as well. Faith, hope, and love. God, help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Lord, as we mentioned, this world is screaming for our attention. And if we don't start to tune it out and tune you in, help us not. Help us not forget you. Help us make time for you. Help us put you where you belong. First, Ichiban, number one in our priority list. And I know many are here today who've made this time for you. But Lord, you don't want it to end. You want to go with us. When we walk out those doors and into this world, We know you want to go with us. So as Mamiko shared the opening of the service, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We believe in you. Come into our hearts. Be our Lord and our Savior. Go with us wherever we go. Help us not leave you behind. And if there's anybody here today that wants that hope, and faith, and love that we were talking, that God gives so freely, the forgiveness of our sins, the presence of His love in our life always, all you need to do is ask. Say, God, come into my heart. Make your heart His home. Lord, go before us. As we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. ありがとうございます。